teacher.
Honourable members, we are resuming our meeting from this morning, and I would like to welcome the Director General of Social Development, as well as the CEO of SASSA and his and her, should I call it entourage? but yourself and Ms. Peterson's senior managers, and also the staff of the ministry, and everyone else that I haven't welcomed you, please feel welcome in this meeting. The second part of our portfolio committee meeting, we're going to have a presentation by the Department of Social Development on the annual report, and without wasting any time, we're going to give over to the Director General of the Department, and could you please introduce your team? I see you have a male-dominated team, only one female from the Department. Maybe you can even tell us what's the gender spread in the department when it comes to senior management.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Good morning to you and to members of the committee. Perhaps I should start off by thanking the committee for inviting us to present our annual performance report. But before we get to that, let me speak briefly about the composition of our team. Madam Chair, this is not representative of how the organization actually looks. The month of October has been declared Social Development Month, and there are a number of activities that we are seized with in the course of this month. As we speak, we have officials already in KZN making preparations for the minister's visit to Msinga on Friday, and then we will be proceeding to Nongoma on Saturday and Sunday. We'll be proceeding to other provinces like Mpumalanga the week following. Because of the level of profile of this, we have sent many of our senior managers on the ground. And many of the people who are directly involved in community development, who do household profiling, are led by women senior managers, like Ms. Sadi Luka and the like. So quite a number of them are not here today on account of the work that they're doing on the ground in preparation for our visit to Msinga. We do have Dr. Mabeshwa with us, who herself has had to return from Msinga to make sure that she's part of the portfolio committee on account of the fact that she's Deputy Director General. They are also accompanied by other men, especially at the level of Chief Directors and Directors. Where our structure is not particularly gender representative is at the level of Deputy Director General. And in the main, that's what you see here from the department. Except for the two special advisors of the minister, we have two substantive DDGs three substantive and two acting ones. And I hope they would love the opportunity to introduce themselves, so you can at least allow them to crack their throats. But let me start myself. My name is Busi Madonsela, Director General of the Department.
And my name is Christopher Mulaudzi. I'm Director of Monitoring and Evaluation.
Brian Dango, I'm a special advisor to the minister.
Totsego Pagati, CFO, DSD. Peter Nechpare, acting DDG for community development.
Usele Tolofelo, acting program manager, appeals.
Maria Mabita, welfare services.
Sipo Shizi, special advisor to the ministry.
Selwyn Zahuma, head of social security.
Osborne Matilda, chief director, entity oversight management.
Wilson Govan, director, internal audit.
Eugene Webster, Chief Director, Human Capital Management.
Manda Tala, Monitoring and Evaluation.
Roger Kitchoy, Chief Director, Strategy.
Virginia Peterson, CEO, SASA.
Tulaganya Montuzi, Acting CFO, SASA.
And Diane Dunkley, Acting Executive Manager for Grants in SASA.
Sindhu Sivankulu, General Manager, Human Capital Management, SASA.
You can see those two are trying to extrude themselves from the department. They don't realize that the agenda is very important.
Ingrid Ndlovu, PLO to the Minister.
Kathy Lee, State of Office of Deputy Minister Ntuli.
Just if the members of the committee could just lend me the ears. I forgot to inform you that the Minister and the Deputy Minister are both currently at Cabinet. So they won't be able to join us. We do know that they do join us from time to time.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, what we're about to present is the full annual report of the Department of Social Development. Many of you will recall that this follows our fourth quarterly report, which we presented nearly 2 months ago to the committee. To all intents and purposes, our fourth quarterly report represented our draft annual report, because we don't report only the quarter. If you report in the first quarter, you can only talk about the quarter. If you present the second quarter, you're actually effectively talking about the two quarters. If you report on the third quarter, you're talking about three quarters. If you report on the fourth quarter, you actually are reflecting on the work you've done over the year. But at that point, that was still in draft form. The annual report has now been completed and signed off, and it has already been tabled. So what we are about to present is the final report of the department. A lot of the information that you will see, you will probably find it to look very familiar to what you may have already heard. So I'm just making this point so that the committee is aware of the fact that this is now the final version of the annual report. It covers the activities of the department from the beginning of the financial year up to the 31st of March, 2011. Mr. Mulawuzi from our Monitoring and Evaluation section is going to take us through the presentation, at the end of which I will lead the pack in responding to whatever questions members of the committee would have, and I'll also be assisted by the senior managers here present. If you will allow, Madam Chair, may I invite Mr. Mulawuzi to give us a presentation.
Yes, I'll just ask that members ignore the sounds coming from above here. I'm sure it's people working on the roof. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. As the Chair has spoken, we are presenting our annual report, the final version, and the this is just this gives us a sense of the presentation outline, which focuses on part A, overview, part B, the program performance, part C, D, and E, which and then E, final. I mean, part E is actually the last part, which focuses on finance. The presentation is a bit long, and if honorable members of the House do not mind, I won't go into the details of the mission and the vision of the department, as well as our strategic priorities, as well as the tough outcomes of government. Suffice to say that the past financial year also coincided with a shift in government work from what cynics call faith-based management to reserve-based management, and it is to the realization of these outcomes that our programs seek to contribute. So we have, as is well known, we have five programs, which program one, administration provides overall administrative and key support services to the department and the ministry. Program two focuses on the development of comprehensive social security policies and provide income support to vulnerable groups. Program three, which is policy development, review and implementation support for welfare services, seeks to create an enabling environment for the delivery of equitable developmental welfare services through the formulation of policies, standards, best practices, and support to social service providers. Program four, community development, seeks to create an enabling environment for the empowerment of the poor and vulnerable through the promotion and support of community development work, strengthening of institutional arrangements and dialogue with civil society. Program five, strategy and governance, provides sector-wide strategy, leadership, oversight, alignment, and coordination of mandates, strategies, as well as social and population policies. Program performance, well, I will skip the purpose as well, as it has already been alluded to by the General. We'll move straight on to Program 2, Comprehensive Social Security. The department sought to extend the CSG to children aged 16 and 17 during the past financial year, and the total number of children in that age cohort receiving the CSG or benefiting from the child support grant stood at over 323,000 by the end of March, which brought to over 10.3 million the total number of CSG recipients throughout the country. The age equalization of age equalization between male and female recipients of old age grants entered its third and final phase. And during that period, over 283,000 men aged 60 and above were receiving the old age grant, bringing to over 2.6 million the total number of older persons benefiting from the social assistance program. In order to reduce income poverty among the poor and vulnerable South Africans and to develop a coherent policy on social relief and distress provision, we introduced a draft social assistance amendment bill in Parliament. And Parliament referred that part of that bill back to Cabinet for reconsideration. We also obtained a legal opinion on the implementation of the harmonized assessment tool for disability without the definition, and a consultative process on regulating the harmonized assessment tool for disability will be concluded during the 2011-2012 financial year. We also completed a draft policy for children with disabilities and health care needs, and the draft policy will be consulted and costed in the next financial year. With respect to the introduction of consolidated policy and legislation on social relief, MINMEC and the Social Protection Cluster approved the policy and bill on social relief for submission to Cabinet, and both will be submitted introduced to Parliament during the current financial year, 2011-2012 financial year. With respect to social insurance, we sought to gain approval for the policy on mandatory retirement provisions, and our achievement in that regard was that the policy was approved by the Interministerial Committee on Social Security in February 2011. We also completed a draft blueprint for a revised social security institutional framework and we presented it to decision makers making structures in the department. We also completed a draft blueprint and presented it to the Interdepartmental Task Team on Social Security after it had gone through the necessary internal structures in the department. This just gives us a sense of the number of people benefiting from the social assistance program, and the number stands at 14.7 million, almost approaching 14.8 million. I will not go into the detail of the various types of grants that are received. Madam Chair, if you don't mind, I will also just leave out some of the details because the presentation is quite long. So I'll use my discretion to leave out things that I think are not necessarily important. In order to establish a system for adjudicating social assistance appeals, we adjudicated and finalized 41,162 appeals that were part of the appeals backlog in the department. In addition to this, we also adjudicated and finalized over 4,000 new appeals during the reporting period. We sought also to establish and operationalize a regionally based appeals adjudication structure of regionally approved, regionally based appeals adjudication structures and capabilities. And in that respect, we actually finalized and submitted the organizational structure to the Minister for approval and appointed and secure offices for staffing, housing, Free State, Northwest, Western Cape, Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and the Eastern Cape provinces. As the year ended, we were busy finalizing the vetting and verification of qualifications for enlistment of provincial panel members. We also developed a project to reconcile the information and database in all the regional offices, and we also verified the captured data. We now move to Program 3, which is Social Welfare Services. In order to implement the recruitment and retention strategy for social service professionals, we awarded scholarships to over 5,500 students to enable them to register for social work courses at several tertiary institutions in the country. And this, in our view, will go a long way towards addressing the shortage of social service professionals in the country. Similarly, over 1,100 social work students graduated from several institutions via learning and were absorbed into employment in the provinces. This coincides of it contributes to the goal providing support and social, family, and community interventions that foster social cohesion, and will contribute to the realization of outcome trust as well, which is the realization of an efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service, and an empowered, fair, and inclusive citizenship. With respect to, we had also sought to complete a situational analysis of community-based care services, which we did in the Free State, Northern Cape, Western Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal provinces. With respect to we also sought to develop the South African plan of action and guidelines on aging for implementation and the monitoring tool as well. And we completed the guidelines for implementing the South African plan of action on aging during the reporting period. We also sought to develop an amalgamated DSD policy on disability to align it with the UN Convention on Disability, which we did. In addition to this, we also refined the draft framework on the management and promotion of human rights through internal consultative workshops with key stakeholders in the sector, in the social development sector. This will contribute to the goal of protecting and promoting the rights of people with disabilities, as well as contributing to Outcome 8, which seeks to realize sustainable human settlements and improved quality of household life. We had also sought to, we have the goal of improving sector performance through a rigorous research planning and business process improvement. In that regard, we sought to reorient and train social service professionals on the legislative framework on human rights. We trained over 600 officials on the Promotion of Access to Justice Act, PAJA, as well as over 1,800 social service professionals on the legislative framework on human rights. MINMEC approved the policy on financial awards to service providers, and the implementation will take place during the current financial year. Much work has been done since, And I believe my colleagues who deal with this particular aspect will talk to it during the question and answer time. We also finalized a draft policy on the provision of social service professionals and consolidated it into a reviewed policy on financial awards. In order to invest in or implement the child protection register, we did the following. We registered over 1,100 abuse cases on Part A of the child protection register, and 64 convictions that were received were also recorded, while 9 children's court findings were also recorded on Part A of the child protection register. With respect to Part B, only one case of unsuitability was recorded, while 85 inquiries by individuals were recorded, 710 such inquiries by employers were recorded as well, and 9 database entries of forums were also registered. This will also contribute to the outcome 3, which is to ensure that all people in South Africa are and feel safe, and will contribute to our overall goal of investing in and ensuring the provision of sound social services to children, including those in need of care and protection. We also sought to develop programs for preventing child abuse, neglect, and exploitation. And in that regard, we assessed 20 child abuse prevention and early intervention programs. We completed a report on findings, conceptual framework, practical guidelines, and recommendations for scaling up of child abuse prevention and early programs. We completed a phase and developed a conceptual framework and methodology report for a national surveillance study on child abuse, exploitation, and neglect. And we identified provinces for the pilot study on the national surveillance on child abuse, exploitation, and neglect as well. With respect to the implementation of a pilot cluster care, implementation of pilot cluster foster care models, we identified 4 provinces, namely the Eastern Cape, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, and Western Cape for the implementation of the pilot. The implementation of the Children's Act gathered momentum, and the Children's Act came into force in April 2010 and was launched by the President in May 2010. We facilitated the implementation of the Children's Act, and numerous activities were undertaken, including the development of frequently asked questions, the implementation matrix, as well as provincial visits. This will also ensure that we reach the goal of investing in and ensuring the provision of sound social services, social welfare services for children, including those in need of care and protection, and as well as to outcome 3, which is to ensure that all people in South Africa are and feel safe. We also finalized high-level norms and standards and practice guidelines for the Children's Act and distributed that to all provinces. With respect to the implementation of a strategy for orphans, vulnerable children, including those working and living on the streets, we conducted 3 provincial visits to determine the implementation of the strategy, namely the provinces in question are Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and KwaZulu-Natal. We also developed a strategy on services to orphans and vulnerable children in drop-in centers. With respect to adoption, we registered over 2,200 national adoptions, as well as 200 inter-country adoptions. We provided capacity to 500 staff from 8 provinces, with the exclusion of the Northern Cape, on practice guidelines on inter-country adoptions. We evaluated and recommended 23 adoption service providers for accreditation on the national and inter-country adoption. We also, with respect to the implementation of international social service programs, we capacitated 500 staff from 8 provinces, as I've already mentioned, excluding the Northern Cape, on international social services, and as well as providing capacity to 500 staff from 8 provinces on the management of unaccompanied minor children. With respect to the development of a partial care strategy for children, we developed that strategy, and we implemented, as part of the implementation of the home community-based care for early childhood development, we registered over 11,000 children as part of the HCDC program, home community-based care for early childhood development. We also developed a strategy for the program as well, and trained over about 90 officials, 89 officials, on train the trainers on parenting as part of that initiative as well. We completed an audit and partial care and ECD programs in four provinces: Western Cape, Mpumalanga, Northwest, and Gauteng. This will also contribute to outcome one, which is the provision of quality basic education to our children. With respect to the improvement of family life, the realization of an improved family life through the implementation of family preservation programs, a major achievement in that regard was that we finalized and presented a draft green paper on families to departmental structures for approval. And I must just mention that this has since been approved by cabinet and will soon be gazetted to turn it into, before it becomes a white paper. And that, you know, that seeks to promote and strengthen family life through a coherent, well-coordinated framework for all government policies, programs, and civil society initiatives. We also approved and finalized an integrated plan for services to families. We also developed and consulted a draft integrated parenting framework with key stakeholders as well. And this, in our view, forms part of our our attempts to provide to reach the goal of supporting and strengthening family and community interventions that foster social cohesion. We also initiated a number of capacity building initiatives for service providers on the manual on families in crisis in three provinces. And we also provided service of training on marriage preparation and marriage enrichment in nine provinces, as well as the building capacity, which provided to 123 service providers on family prevention services and 54 service providers on the implementation of the DSD, our strategy, on families in two provinces. We also have a contribution to make towards the reduction of substance abuse in our society, as well as to the realization, to ensuring that we have a long and healthy life for all South Africans. In this respect, we commemorated International Day Against Drug Abuse and Illicit Trafficking in the Eastern Cape Province and held a successful second biennial Anti-Substance Abuse Summit in March 2011. A national action plan has since been approved by Cabinet to put into action new measures to address the scourge of substance abuse in our society. This is in addition to, this is what has happened since the end of the financial year. We also conducted door-to-door campaigns in all provinces except Mpumalanga and KZN, and we held a number of anti-substance drug and alcohol initiatives in Gauteng, Free State, Limpopo, and Northern Cape. We finalized draft regulations under the Prevention of and Treatment for Substance Abuse Act, and the regulations were taken for consultation in all nine provinces. With respect to practice models for combating substance abuse, we implemented an aftercare and reintegration model in the Western Cape and Mpumalanga provinces, as well as implementing a community-based model in Limpopo and Northwest provinces. We also approved or sent for approval a substance abuse prevention model for adults. And this, like I said earlier, will also ensure that we provide, we realize the goal of the outcome of an improved substance abuse services and program in the social, to be provided by the social development sector. We also finalized the National Drug Master Plan and conducted a risk assessment among support structures, and the report was available or is available for is available. We also established and maintained over 230 local drug action committees, and as well as strengthening and maintaining nine provincial substance abuse forums. The social crime prevention strategy was also approved by Head of Social Development Services in February this year. We also developed five social crime prevention programs, and we also drafted draft regulations for the Prevention Services Act. This seeks to contribute to the DSD specific outcome of providing improved victim support services, as well as to significantly reduce incidents of social crime. With respect to the goal of reducing the risk of social and physical violence against women or gender-based violence, we trained 270 social workers to implement the strategy on the engagement and boys of men and boys on the prevention of gender-based violence in all 9 provinces. We developed and implemented a human trafficking rehabilitation program in 13 identified shelters in 9 provinces, which forms part of our intention to develop and roll out the human trafficking program in all provinces. With respect to the development of victim empowerment legislation, a research report, we finalized a research report on the feasibility of developing a victim support services legislation, which will then provide the basis for us to develop a victim empowerment legislation. And we also developed a costing model for the victim empowerment program, and piloted successfully the generic set of indicators tools in Limpopo, Gauteng, and Northwest provinces. We also presented a preliminary finding at the VEP conference, which was held in October 2011. With respect to the Register on Victims of Crime and Violence, we developed a prototype framework to capture data for victims of crime and violence and trained cluster departments on the capturing of such data. We designed the victim satisfaction survey instruments and tested them in 4 sites, which are the following: the Tutuzela Center, Shelter for Abused Women, SAPS Victim Support Center, as well as the Parole Board. We now move to Program 4, which is Community Development, which also seeks to build committed communities and stakeholders that deal with effectively with the prevention and psychological impact of HIV and AIDS. In that respect, we start to train staff in all provinces to implement the social behavior change program. We conducted consultative workshops for youth in 3 provinces, as well as 2 community dialogues with 2 communities. We also hosted World AIDS Day successfully. We have an approved management plan to monitor Love Life programs in all provinces. With respect to the implementation of the National Action Plan for Orphans and Other Children Made Vulnerable by HIV and AIDS, we compiled and presented a draft report of the monitoring evaluation of capacity of the national NGOs to NACA. We also developed a draft NACA communication strategy. We developed a draft conceptual framework on psychosocial support for orphans and other children affected by HIV and AIDS. We sought to ensure that 10% of municipalities in the country utilize our maternal offense database. And maternal offense surveillance system was launched by the minister in KZN during the reporting period in the Umyazi area of KwaZulu-Natal. And with respect to the percentage that we sought to reach, we actually exceeded it. And we, by the end of the financial year, over 12.7% of municipalities in Northwest, KwaZulu-Natal, Free State were utilizing the database for planning purposes. We also sought to ensure that 35 districts would implement the monitoring and evaluation system for maternal offense. For HCBC, and what happened was that by the end of the financial year, we actually had implemented the home community-based care M&E system in 31 districts. The remaining 4 could not get the system implemented since the provinces were not ready. With respect to the training of caregivers, we had sought to train over 15,000 caregivers to strengthen home community-based care organizations, and that target was succeeded by far, and we trained over 19,000, almost 20,000 community caregivers, and an additional 1,000 community caregivers on psychosocial well-being skills, on the psychosocial development program. We also registered an accreditation of psychosocial well-being skills development program with the Health and Welfare Sector. With respect to ensuring that 30% of HCDC organizations comply with norms and standards for HCDC, we also exceeded that target by far, and 47% of such organizations complied with norms and standards for the management of HCDC organizations. We now move to community policy and community development. We're still under community development. We move to the sub-program which deals with community policy and service standards, which seeks to contribute to the goal of supporting and strengthening family and community interventions that foster social cohesion as well. We developed and approved a community development skills plan, and Head of Social Development Services approved the community development policy framework during the reporting period. And we also developed a draft community development strategy. We developed a draft model for CDS during the national community in Durban. With respect to youth, we sought out to develop norms and standards for the Masipasila Youth Pioneer Program. In that respect, we developed the norms and standards for the Masipasila Youth Pioneer Program and developed an exit strategy for participants in the program. We also linked over 790 youth to economic opportunities through their participation in the Masipasila Youth Program. We finalized a business plan for the National Youth Service Program from Mpumalanga and recruited and trained over 362 youth into the National Youth Service Program in Mpumalanga and Gauteng. 51 youth graduated, and 69 of these were employed by the private sector. We also conducted an audit of 110 youth NPOs and profiled them in about 8 provinces. We have sought also to link 4,500 beneficiaries to existing and new development projects, and that target was exceeded by far because we linked over 21,100 beneficiaries to development projects throughout the country. We have sought to train community development practitioners in order to facilitate community development to community development. And we trained and capacitated over 354 such officials on the SLA concept and use of the toolkit for that. With respect to sustainable livelihoods, we developed draft guidelines on social cooperatives and supported 5 provinces to establish food banks, that is Mpumalanga, Western Cape, Northwest, Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal. We also linked over 1,200 food distribution agencies with food banks and provided an equivalent of 16,800,000 meals to those in need. We also developed, with respect to non-profit organizations and partnerships, we developed an NPO management guideline. We also developed a framework for institutional arrangements and capacity for institutional arrangements and building capacity for the provinces. We finalized an NPO registration and compliance system and a work model document. We established a structure for NPO registration and compliance monitoring support as well. We developed an NPO funding guideline, and the guideline will be implemented by all provinces during the current financial year, that is 2011-2012. We also developed a discussion document on the NPO policy. We processed all the applications that were submitted to us, applications for NPO registration within the required time of 2 months. That was in excess of the 90% target that we had set for ourselves. We had also sought to ensure that 25% of NPO at least comply with the requirements of the NPO Act. In that respect, we exceeded the target by 5%, and we now stand at the percentage of NPOs which complied with the NPO Act by the end of financial year stood at about 30%. We now move to Program 5 strategy, slide number 47, which is population. We start with population and development. We established a stakeholder database of civil society organizations and faith-based organizations. for assessing capacity building needs and population concerns with special reference to HIV, AIDS and gender. We also secured funding from the health and welfare sector to train over 380 key stakeholders on integrating HIV, AIDS into development planning with assistance from Palama. We consolidated and updated two individual reports, that is an overview report on HIV and AIDS and other health issues with demographic consequences, and the report on the state of health, morbidity, mortality, and development in South Africa into a single document. We also updated and finalized an overview paper on HIV and AIDS and other health issues with demographic consequences in March 2011. We compiled and presented an overview paper on the state of gender equality, equity, and the empowerment of women in South Africa in May 2010. The Department of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs and Provincial Population Units approved a strategy for municipalities to roll out the guide to integrate population information into integrated development plans. And 8 local workshops were conducted, focusing on the application of the guidelines for the mainstreaming of gender into integrated development plans. We sought to conduct population capacity building and training courses throughout the country, and in that respect, we reached over 200 government officials, including 2 members of parliament and 156 international participants during 6 different capacity building courses. We also developed and implemented an international population strategy. We now move to Special Project Office, Special Project which focuses more on EPWP issues. This program seeks to help create decent work through the expanded public works program. We have sought to create over 96,000 job opportunities through current and newly integrated social sector programs for EPWP. And in that respect, we created a total number of 110,000 work opportunities, which exceeds the target. And over 61,300 of such work opportunities were full-time equivalent. We also mainstreamed all identified sub-programs into the EPWP reporting system, which has boosted sector performance and ensured the creation of more work opportunities beyond the traditional pilot programs. The Minister of Labour approved the Ministerial Determination and Code of Good Practice for EPWP workers. We also completed a draft costing and modelling report for EPWP workers and presented it to the project management team for adoption. We also sought to implement a coherent and seamless sector communication campaign, and in that respect, we ensured that the different partners in EPWP implemented different elements of the EPWP communication strategy. We also hosted an annual sector conference, a very successful annual EPWP sector conference in Bungundlovu in KZN, and we also held regular steering committee and extended steering committee meetings. We also undertook regular troubleshooting visits to provinces and have the bilateral programs to ensure the achievement of targets as set out in the sector plan and the annual action plan for EPWP. We now move to social policy, which seeks to institutionalize evidence-based policy making in the department and the social development sector. That is slide number 55. The department, through this program, contributed to the development of policies on social service professions. It also took part in the development of a policy on military veterans and the DSD contributions to the basket of social services. We participated in the further development of the anti-poverty strategy with partners such as organized business, government, labor, and the labor community, as well as NEDLAC. We also participated through the social policy program in the Status A-led initiative on defining of the poverty line for South Africa. The social policy program also conducted 2 social policy and social policy analysis training sessions for 50 senior civil servants working in the area of policy development. We also conducted a social policy and social policy analysis course for high-level civil servants in the Southern Africa region, in Sakopmund, Namibia, in October last year. And countries that attended the training session were Botswana, Lesotho, Namibia, South Africa, Swaziland, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. And this is part of the DSA contribution to the foreign policy goal of creating a better South Africa, a better Africa, and a better world. We now move to Part C, which focuses on the legislative program. With respect to social assistance, the Social Assistance Amendment Act was drafted and taken to Parliament during the reporting period, and it was assented into law by the President in September and became an Act of Parliament thereafter. With respect to children, regulations under the Children's Act, as amended, were approved by the Minister, published in the Government Gazette, and came into force with effect from the 1st of April 2010. The regulations for the Older Persons Act were also approved by the Minister, published in the Government Gazette, and came into force in April 2010 as well. We now move to International Part D, which is International Engagement. The Department has a specific contribution to make to the realization of this key foreign policy goal of creating a better South Africa, a better Africa, and a better world. And in that respect, we continue to play an active role in promoting the country's social development agenda internationally. We continue to participate in the activities of the African Union, the Southern African Development Community, SADC, the United Nations structures, which includes, among others, the UN Commission on the Status of Women and the UN Commission on Narcotics. During the reporting period, the Department successfully hosted a number of international delegations who were on benchmarking excursions to South Africa from countries far afield as China, Kenya, and Tanzania. We also continue to lead consultations on the social dimensions of NEPAD on behalf of the Africa Group, the G77, and the G77 in the UN Commission for Social Development. And through the Deputy Director General for Welfare Services, we continue to serve on the board of the International Social Services. We also hosted a successful World Social Security Forum on behalf of the International Social Security Association, ISSA, and four of our officials, led by the Director General, continued to serve in the highest decision-making structures of ISSA. We also participated in the activities of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, and the European Union, with a focus on social policy and employment issues. We also played a leading role in the finalization of the IPSA Social Development Strategy, which was adopted by heads of state of the three IPSA members. An agreement that we reached with the EU has been finalized, and after interactions with the Department of Labor, and it was ready for endorsement by the end of the financial year. Agreements with several neighboring states have been finalized and are at different stages of development. We continued our collaboration with Zimbabwe on the critical issue of unaccompanied minors. We also continued our collaboration with countries such as Chile and Mexico with a focus on social security, poverty alleviation, and early childhood development. And all these initiatives, in our view, have provided a platform, or continue to provide a platform, for the Department to share experiences with fractional organizations from elsewhere in the world. With that, I thank you, Chair. I will pause here for the CFO to do his bit on finances. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And honorable members, I will just go through quickly the financial report and also cover the issues or findings of the Auditor General. Chairperson, maybe let me start by indicating that the Department continues to spend money that it has been appropriated by Parliament at the rate of 98.01%. And the slide on slide 54, the next slide, shows the breakdown of that expenditure by program. And It also shows that most programs have spent money above 90%. The next slide just indicates the breakdown by economic classification, that is the money spent on salaries, as well as goods and services, transfers, as well as on capital assets. I will go into specific explanation as I present on those percentages. But at a high level, on slide 66, you will see that on program one, much as we explain in the understanding, it is should be noted that it is well above 95%. It's at 96% something. We just wanted to indicate that there were two main issues that contributed to that. One being the fact that the department implemented certain measures to contain expenditure during the economic recession period, which we refer to as austerity measures. There is a famous circular in the department that is well known by all staff called Circular 1 of 2009, which I believe is even known by our service providers and consultants at this stage. But it has assisted us to really cut down on expenditure that we believe could assist us in striking certain savings to finance our key critical commitments. At the time of the economic recession, the members will recall that the department reported previously that our commitments were at the highest, and therefore we had a very tight working capital ratio, meaning that our immediate commitments compared to the cash and cash equivalents that we had was quite a bit of a challenge for us at the time. We have now improved quite significantly. This current financial year, we really operating back to normal in a sense. Under program two, we had a huge underspending, which is obviously the transfer payments to grant beneficiaries. And I'm sure SASA will also indicate the spending trends there, but largely I think SASA's latest drive to review and clean up the system has also contributed to that. But I also believe that they will also indicate their efforts to improve the coverage or the uptake on grants as well, in terms of the especially the CSG and the old age grants. Now, on program three, we basically showing small underspending due to the austerity measures, and program four was largely driven by certain transfers that we did not release due to non-compliance issues, which have been sorted out with those organizations. In the current financial year, those monies have been approved for transfer. And if you look at, then I move quickly to program one detail on slide 68. The biggest variance I wanted to talk about there is the capital assets, which is basically the money that was reserved for purchasing of vehicles for the minister and deputy minister, which was only paid in April because of the delays in the process of engagement with the banks. And on program two, I've already indicated the major variance there. On slide 72, you will see it largely on the transfer payments for grants, but also there were some projects that we carried forward to the new year that were started but not completed in the year relating to the appeals unit. And if you look at then on slide 74, on program three, again, I would like just to indicate that on capital assets, there were a few assets that we decided not to replace because in our assessment of the useful life of the assets, they were still having economic value or useful, and we will only replace some of those this year and going forward. We have implemented a strategy to manage the assets to ensure that we replace them according to a five-year plan. We also, on program four, I indicated, as indicated in slide 78, that those transfers were withheld, and I indicated the names of the organizations that were not paid. On program five, essentially it was more like the unfilled posts. Much as we say we report on this underspending, I want also to emphasize that our personnel expenditure was 96.7, I think, overall. And the department is busy finalizing a restructuring process. Some of the posts were deliberately not filled because we want to finalize first that restructuring process, especially very senior posts at DDG level, so that we don't make a mistake before the restructuring exercise is complete. On slide 482, Chair and members, the Auditor General report, we had received for the second year in succession a qualified report from the Auditor General due to the scope limitation occasioned by non-existent and incomplete files relating to social assistance beneficiary payments. Now, it should be also emphasized that significant work has been done to improve the situation from the previous year. However, the amount involved was still unfortunately above the materiality threshold by the Auditor General. I'll come back later to that when I deal with the detailed report. Now, one of the issues raised by the AG in the emphasis of matter, the only emphasis of matter in the financial, relates to the issue of dual accountability resulting from the current flow of funds. I think the AG simply emphasizes the point so that management will keep aware of its responsibility regarding the management of the relationship with the agency. This effectively then means that the financial management outcomes of SASA will then impact on the financial statements of social development with regard to the grants transfer payment. The findings specifically of the Auditor General is reflected on slide 84, which indicates that an amount of approximately 891 million could not be verified for its existence and authenticity due to scope limitation of not having got the necessary information. I think members should also note that the Auditor General indicated that this money, this amount has gone down from 10.5 billion in previous year, which is a significant improvement indeed. Unfortunately, it was still above the threshold for materiality. In slide 85, then, I indicate there that SASA has put up an action plan which was to cover a three-year plan to deal with these challenges, because there are huge challenges regarding the registry management. However, with the previous year's outcomes, clearly it shows that SASA is likely to address this within 2 years, not even the three-year plan that was initially put up. So I would not blow the horn of the CEO, but I hope that this financial year we will be able to receive an unqualified audit as DSD. That's the promise that we are getting. On slide 86, there was also a finding which is not an emphasis of matter, but other matters that the Auditor General draw management to as well as drawing Parliament to note. One relates to the predetermined objectives, which is another area that the Auditor General is auditing, other than the financial audit, looking at the achievement of the objectives that were indicated in the strategic plan. Yeah, the Auditor General was not happy with the layout and the way the information was presented in the annual performance plan. And they said the department must stick to the framework issued by Treasury in terms of ensuring that the measurements as well as the key performance indicators are compliant to the smart bins principle, which is simple, measurable, reliable, time-bound, and so forth. Now, it's more to say they would be able to measure the performance better if the principles are in that fashion. It doesn't by any way say the department has not achieved. It just says it's difficult to measure some of the indicators because of the manner in which they were presented in the strategic plan. On page 87, it's a compliance issue relating to approval of VRMNs by the Director General, which was done, but unfortunately was done after the cut-off date, which is something the department is addressing to ensure that the approval is done within the period of submission of the financials to the Auditor General so that it's compliant with the Public Finance Management Act. And in that regard, there are procedural guidelines and checklists that have been now implemented by the department to ensure that it meets those deadlines. And another one was more on the financial misconduct cases, which the department is addressing. The Auditor General was not happy with the fact that there are backlogs in terms of the pace of investigating as well as taking the necessary action against officials. The department has rewired its committee that deals with these cases and appointed new people, especially the chairperson, the people with legal background to do the investigation. We have just recently submitted an update report to the Public Service Commission on some of the cases that were finalized, but all cases will be dealt with by the end of this financial year. And in that regard, the committee is convening meetings even after hours and weekends to keep up with the backlogs. The last issue, Chair and members, was on the issue relating to SASA again, but more to indicate that SASA, the department needs to focus more on operational oversight rather than only looking at performance management and reporting by the agency. This is a matter the DG and the CEO are currently discussing, but in the meantime, the oversight frameworks have been redrafted. We're also looking at involving our internal audit section to cooperate with SASA internal audit to do spot checks on grant expenditure, especially the files that are kept in various regions. And in this regard, the department is beefing up its capacity in that area. The head of internal audit unit is here, could attest to that. We also started last financial year already to have joint audit committee meetings between the audit committee meeting of SASA and the audit committee meeting of DSD to monitor the action plans that are put in place to deal with the issues raised by the Auditor General. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That concludes our presentation on the annual report for the year ended 31st of March 2011. We will be happy at this stage, Chairperson, to interact with the committee on any matter in respect of which they may seek clarity. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Marinsella and team. Honourable members, there's tea and coffee outside. Can we have a 10-minute break and then we come back with questions?